fur on the beast's torso, droplets of water violently shaking loose as it stretches a pair of leathery bat wings. It ends up standing almost 15 feet tall on a pair of almost humanoid legs. It hunches forward, six pairs of jaundiced eyes staring at us hungrily. "Look out!" shouts Six, just as the creature flaps its wings and takes to the air. The creature looms in the air over me. It's funny the things you notice in a moment like that. The monster's feet are huge, curled talons extending from each foot's three toes as well as from the heels. But the pads of the monster's feet look almost soft, a pair of S-shaped scars carved into the tissue there, like some Mogadorian scientist signed his work. I see all that in the moment before it tries to stomp down on me. "Watch out!" Eight grabs me around the waist, and we teleport backwards. The mutant gator's clawed toes shear a chunk out of the root I was standing on. "How the hell did they find us?" Nine snarls, extending his pipe staff. "I don't see any Moogs," I shout, spinning around, trying to take in the entire swamp. "Could it be alone? I'll go ask." Nine charges in. The beast snaps at him with one of its three mouths. Nine brings his pipe staff up and jams it right into the closest mouth, knocking out a couple of yellow fangs. With one head roaring in pain, the monster lashes out with a wing, forcing Nine backwards. Five drops his chest on the ground and unlocks it. Six grabs his shoulder. "What the hell?" she yells. "You didn't see this thing when you scouted?" "It came from underwater. How could I see it?" Five's voice is calm. He doesn't seem rattled at all, unlike how John described him in their last battle. "Don't worry," he continues. "I've got just the thing in here."
"A little help?"
Nine shouts as he jumps away from one of the monster's snapping mouths. Eight teleports right above the creature's three heads. He kicks it hard in one of its snouts, then teleports away so he's side by side with Nine. The thing lets loose a frustrated roar, flapping its wings and trying to take to the air. Nine and Eight separate, trying to flank the beast. As Five rummages through his chest, Six thrusts her hands in the air.
"Marina, watch my back while I do this!"
I hear the first droplets of a rainstorm working their way through the foliage. Five pulls some kind of leather sleeve out of his chest. He slides it over his forearm. When he flexes, a sleek one-foot blade extends from the underside of his wrist. Five grins. "Missed you," he says to the sleeve contraption, the blade sliding back down when he flexes again.
"Let's hurry up on that lightning, Six!"
yells Nine. The monster is bearing down on him. It's everything he can do to get his staff up, deflecting a series of bites from the trio of fanged mouths. Backpedaling blind, Nine trips over a branch and goes toppling onto his butt. The beast is about to leap right on top of him when Eight shapeshifts, assuming the form of a massive half-man, half-boar, one of the avatars of Vishnu, I presume. He grabs the creature by its alligator tail and yanks it backwards, keeping it from devouring Nine. The beast swivels around and sinks its teeth into Eight's shoulder. He bellows through his boar snout, and his form begins to flicker. I can see he's having trouble keeping his concentration with the pain from the bite.
"Eight!"
I scream. I want to go to him, to heal him, but I can't leave Six while she's focusing on creating a storm. "Go help him," she says through gritted teeth.
"I'm good to go."
I race forward, intent on getting to Eight. before the flying gator can take another chunk out of him. A lightning bolt slices down from the heavens. It strikes the creature and knocks it flat, the thing convulsing and smoking. It's raining harder now, 6 really amping up the storm. 9 is back on his feet. He barrels forward while the beast is still struggling to get its 2 legs under it. 9 bludgeons the creature with his staff, but the blows hardly make a dent in the scale-covered hide. With 9 back on the attack, 8 staggers away from the monster, still in his Vishnu form. He transforms back to normal when I reach him, and I can see deep and jagged lacerations covering his right shoulder. I press my hands to 8's shoulder, let the icy feeling flow through me and into him, and I watch as his wounds close up. "I could kiss you," 8 says. "After we kill this thing, maybe," I reply. The monster rears back and swings one of its leathery wings at 9, knocking him backwards. As soon as 9 is out of the way, 6 calls down 2 more lightning strikes. The lightning knocks the beast down again and tears a hole in the membrane of its wing, but it just struggles back to his feet again and roars. It seems like we're only making it angrier. "What does it take to stop this fucker?" shouts 9. A high-pitched whistle fills the air, so loud and sharp that it causes my skin to crawl, like fingernails on a chalkboard. I spin around to see 5 blowing into an intricate flute carved from solid obsidian. As the shrill note fills the air, he stares unblinkingly at the monster. All at once, it's like the fight goes out of the thing. It folds its huge wings around its body and sinks to the ground, its 3 heads tucked against his chest, almost like it's bowing. "Whoa," breathes 8. "See," says 5, lowering the whistle and glancing around. "Easy. If you had that thing the entire time, why didn't you use it?" 9 snaps. "I thought you might want a workout," 5 says, smiling coldly at 9. 6 shakes her head. "Would one of you just kill that thing so we can get out of here?" "Gladly," says 5, his skin turning into glittering steel. He takes 2 steps towards the genuflecting beast, but stops right next to 6. "I made the damn thing," 5 says absently. "The least I can do is put it down." "You what?" I ask with disbelief. 5's steel-plated fist shoots forward with a force I've never seen from him before, hitting 6 with an uppercut. The force sends 6's entire body into the air and she lands at my feet. I can see her eyes are rolled into the back of her head and twin tendrils of blood are leaking out of her nostrils. A concussion at best, a fractured skull at worst. Instinctively, I move to heal her, but when I try to crouch down, something hits me in the chest. Not hard, not even with enough force to knock the wind out of me, but I can't move forward. It's telekinesis. 5 is gently keeping me at bay. I look up at him, confused tears filling my eyes. 8 breaks the stunned moment of silence, yelling, "Why'd you do that?" He's drowned out by 9's scream. 5's body has taken on the consistency of rubber, and his arm stretches like a tentacle, wrapping twice around 9's throat. 9 struggles, but 5 lifts him off his feet with ease. His arm stretches further, hanging 9 10 feet off the ground, and then plunges downward. He dunks 9 into the swamp and holds him there.
drowning him. Both Eight and I are frozen as Five turns to look at us. His expression is disconcertingly friendly, considering his stretched-out appendage is currently holding Nine underwater and Six is lying unconscious at my feet, thanks to a vicious sucker punch. I can see vibrations spread up Five's arm from where Nine must be punching at it, trying to free himself. The blows must not be giving Five any pain because he hardly seems to notice. He sits down on his chest and looks at us. "The three of us should probably talk," Five says calmly.
Chapter 33. The connection to Adam abruptly goes dead. I glance down at the phone screen, but Adam called from a blocked number. There's no way to call him back. Wherever he was, Adam sounded like he was moving fast, practically shouting over the wind whipping around in the background, on the run and sounding panicked. I'm the exact opposite, rooted in place and feeling almost numb. What would John do in this situation? Get moving, that's what. I shove the phone into my back pocket and move past my dad, heading for the hallway. He said the Mogadorians know where we are, and that they're on their way. We need to get out of here, now! I call back to my dad. When I glance over my shoulder, he's still standing next to the bed. "Come on," I say. "What are you waiting for?" "What if..." My dad squeezes the bridge of his nose. "What if I can't be trusted?" Oh, right. The whole possibility that my dad could be some kind of unwitting double agent for the Mogadorians. There has to be a better explanation for how his notes fell into their hands. Maybe he's not sure if he can trust himself. Maybe he's worried that his memory is failing, or working against him. It doesn't matter. I make up my mind right then and there. I trust him. "Remember outside of the Dulce base, when I wanted to rush back inside to go help the guard fight? You told me there would be other moments to make myself useful to the Lorik. Well, I think this is one of those times. I trust you, Dad. I can't do this without you." He nods solemnly. Without another word, he reaches under his bed and pulls out the rifle he used to take down that monster in Arkansas, pumping a shell into place. "Did Adam tell you how long we have?" he asks. As if in answer, the building shakes, all the lights flickering. An engine flares outside, the noise above us and dangerously close, followed by a sharp metallic grinding. Something just landed on the roof. Apparently not long at all. We dart into the hallway, where Sarah has just emerged from her room. Her eyes widen as she notices my dad carrying a rifle.
"What was that sound?" she asks. "What's happening?"
"The Moogs are here," I answer.
"Oh no,"
Sarah says, backing towards the room where John and Ella are laid out defenseless. From the hallway, I have a clear view of the floor-to-ceiling windows that line the penthouse living room. A half-dozen ropes come slithering down from the rooftops, the Mogadorians rappelling down the side of the building.
"I have to get to John," Sarah says.
I grab her by the wrist. "We don't stand a chance if we don't get to the weapons." The windows shatter, blown open by a synchronized series of blasts from Mogadorian cannons. A rush of cold air flows through the penthouse. The Moogs swing inside, swiftly detach from the rappelling wires, and start scanning the space around them for targets. They're in the living room, standing between us and the penthouse elevator, our only exit. I'm surprised there aren't more of them. If I was attacking a hideout for the guard, I'd have sent an entire army. It's almost as if they aren't expecting a lot of resistance. The three of us duck back into my dad's room. "I'll get to John and Ella," says my dad. "You two make a break for the lecture hall." I can hear the Moogs moving out of the living room, starting down our hallway. "Here they come. Let's go on three. One." Before I hit two, a ferocious roar erupts from the hallway, immediately answered by wild Mogadorian blaster fire. I poke my head into the hallway in time to see Bernie Kosar, in the shape of a grizzly bear, mauling a pair of Mogadorians. I've forgotten all about BK. Maybe things aren't as desperate as they seem. Go, my dad shouts as he makes a break towards Ella's room. Get weapons and we'll hold them here. BK lunges from Moog to Moog, tearing through them with his claws, tossing aside the furniture that they try to hide behind. He takes a few blaster shots in the side, and the air fills with the smell of burned hair, but that only seems to make him angrier. Crouched in the doorway of Ella's room, my dad takes aim and starts picking off Moogs. Sarah and I take off in the opposite direction, towards the lecture hall and the armory. Behind me, I can hear blaster fire sizzling into the walls, my dad's rifle answering back. We have to be quick. More will surely be dropping in from the roof, and they won't be able to hold them off forever. Suddenly, the bedroom door on my right swings open. I have a second to feel the rush of cool air from the broken window. And then there's a Mogadorian on top of me. He drives his shoulder into my side, pinning me up against the wall. His forearm presses into my throat, and he puts his pale face close to mine, his lifeless, black eyes filling my vision.
Human,
the Moog hisses.
Tell me where the girl is and I'll kill you quick.
Before I can ask which girl he's talking about, Sarah cracks the Mogadorian over the head with an empty vase. The Moog shakes off the blow and spins on Sarah. An anger wells up in me. For all that time in captivity, for what they've done to John and Ella. I grab the handle of the Moog sword and rip it loose from his sheath. With a scream, I drive it through his chest, turning him to ash.
Whoa!
Sarah cheers. I can hear glass shattering from all around the penthouse. Doors to bedrooms all along the hallway are thrown open, and Moogs come charging into sight, cutting me and Sarah off from my dad and Bernie Kosar. I remember thinking the empty penthouse was spooky before, but this is horrifying. I've lost sight of my dad at the other end of the hall. I can still hear his rifle working, the shots getting more and more frequent. I hear a loud crash, the sound of something tipping over in Ella's room.
You're after the girl?
I yell, getting their attention, hopefully taking some of the pressure off my dad.
She's this way!
Sarah and I sprint into the workshop, 10 or so Moogs charging down the hallway after us. Together we shove over a stack of old appliances and engine parts that are next to the doorway, Sanders' accumulated clutter coming in handy. A Moog tries to force open the door, but it's jammed up against all the crap on the floor. That'll slow him down for a second, I say.
Do they think I'm this girl they're after?
Sarah asks, breathlessly.
Or do you think they're here for Ella?
A chunk of the workshop door explodes in a burst of blaster fire, hot splinters flecking across my cheek and almost into my eye. I guess our second is up. Sarah grabs me by the arm, and we stagger through the workshop, the door behind us being pulverized by the invading Moogs. A stray blast hits the floor between us, knocking us apart, and sending Sarah falling over a table. More blasts are getting through now. I duck low and grab Sarah's hand, helping her stand up.
I'm okay,
she yells, and we run, hunched over, towards the lecture hall. The workshop door is now just a smoking hole in the wall, thanks to all the Mogadorian shooting. They're shoving in, tripping over the junk we knocked over, but advancing all the same. Next to me, the monitor that's displaying the location of the guard explodes in a shower of sparks, a Moog blaster just narrowly missing me.
How are we going to fight this many off?
Sarah yells as we burst into the lecture hall.
They've been practicing, but not against 10 targets at once.
We've got the home field advantage. Inside the lecture hall proper, Sarah makes a break for the gun rack, and I climb into the lectern. The first Moogs burst into the room just as I fire up the lecture hall's programming, keying up one of Sanders' old training routines, the one with difficulty marked insanity. The Moogs aren't even paying any attention to me just yet, seated behind the metallic console tapping buttons. They're more focused on Sarah, Even if they